Lawmakers have stepped up the attacks on BP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects us here in the United States. Four Democratic senators have called for a new investigation into the British oil giant. But it's not about the Gulf of Mexico oil leak. Instead, they're asking questions about BP's role in the early release of a Libyan terrorist from British custody. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So, all right, I thought things were bad for BP in the Gulf, but now terrorism is linked here. What are the senators saying?
They're referring to the early release last year from a Scottish jail of the Libyan al-Megrahi. He was serving a life sentence after being convicted of the bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Scotland in 1988. 270 people died in that attack, most of them Americans. Now, the four senators point out that a British press report last year suggested BP had lobbied for al-Megrahi's early release in order to appease Libya to safeguard a $1 billion oil deal. The senators say Deepwater Horizon shows this company puts profit before people. The question is, did they also put profit before justice?
And what about BP's response? What are they saying?
They admit that they express concerns about what they call the slow progress of al-Megrahi's release and the damage it was doing to Britain's commercial interests with Libya. But the company denies they were closely involved in the release or trying to appease the Libyans. However, this call for an inquiry by the four senators shows how much damage Deepwater Horizon has now done to BP's interests in the United States.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Investors are looking east to Singapore at what they say is a beacon of hope for the global recovery. The Asian city-state of Singapore says it expects its economy to grow at least 15% this year. That's the fastest pace of growth in the world. The BBC's Catherine Bia Ruhanga reports on why that could be good news for Americans.
Singapore's economy relies heavily on exports, and as one of the most export-reliant countries in Asia, it's often seen as a barometer for world demand. So the news that it's seen record expansion already this year could be encouraging news across the world. But with high unemployment in the US and Europe struggling to reduce huge budget deficits, there are concerns that Singapore is being too confident. Hugh Young is the Managing Director of Aberdeen Asset Management in Asia.
For Singapore, the outlook for the West has to be a concern. But a lot of what Singapore does is for the Asian region itself, and the Asian region itself still is growing at quite a strong rate.
Although the Singapore government expects the second half of this year to be tougher, it thinks that a double-dip recession is unlikely. In London, I'm the BBC's Catherine Bjarahunga for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Asian shares closed higher today. The Nikkei gained about 3%. European stocks mixed at the moment. Chipmaker Intel beat expectations, reporting nearly $3 billion in profits yesterday. That helped the tech-heavy NASDAQ to tack on about 2%. And the win streak continued everywhere else. The S&P added 1.5%. Same for the Dow, up 146 points to close at 10,363.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. And by Reputation Defender, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. ReputationDefender.com/market.
Smaller American banks, those with assets below $100 billion, are less likely to be able to repay money from the Troubled Asset Relief Program. They could run into some big problems down the road because of that. That's the latest warning from the Congressional Oversight Panel, out with its monthly report on TARP today. Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the panel, and she's with us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Now, if TARP, Professor, was supposed to help the entire financial system recover, why then are smaller banks still feeling such pain?
Well, the smaller banks, in part, have been hit a little later in the crisis. It took them a very long time to get TARP money, and now only 10% have been able to repay it, and 15% of the smaller banks that got money have already missed at least one of their dividend payments, suggesting that they're in real financial distress.
So then what are the threats to smaller banks?
Well, smaller banks are facing big losses in commercial real estate. The amount they have to pay in the dividends on TARP will rise sharply, and they are quite frankly at a competitive disadvantage to try to go into the market and raise capital because they're competing against banks that have an implicit guarantee, the too big to fail banks.
Why not have a Citibank on every street corner and forget about the smaller banks?
Well, small banks are important to our financial system for two reasons. One is they disproportionately take care of the lending to small businesses. Also, there's a notion that a diversified banking system, a system that has some big banks and some small banks, some regional banks, some banks in different parts of the country, will be more robust and less likely to tumble when there are economic problems.
So what's the solution here?
Well, the best thing I can say is that this report flags a problem for Treasury. So there's some time for Treasury to rethink this program, do some restructuring, and, quite bluntly, time for Treasury to work out a plan to deal with the banks that are not going to be able to repay and to think about how they can be structured or, unfortunately, how they can be closed.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren chairs the Congressional Oversight Panel. Thank you so much, Professor.
You're welcome.
And finally, the state of Illinois has had quite the problem with Asian carp, an invasive species in its lakes and rivers, eating up everything in the water, other fish and fish food. Well, the state will send up to 30 million pounds of the carp to China, where it can be served at upscale restaurants. The new export agreement signed by Governor Pat Quinn will increase the amount of fish already being shipped there. Said the governor, if you can't beat them, eat them. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.